Thank God. Well, last week we were talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And, this week we're just going to kind of continue on in that vein and talk about some different aspects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit's the power plant of the church. And, you know, Jesus, we went over some scriptures. Jesus left. Jesus, when Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples many times before he finally ascended up into heaven, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the gift that was going to be poured out. He told them to wait. Here these people have been with him for years, and we're not going to recap everything we said last week, but they've been with him for years, and they've witnessed the fact that he died, that he resurrected, he spoke to them, he appeared in their midst, and he didn't tell them, now get out there and tell everybody. He said, wait. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for what's going to be poured out. And let's just turn there. We'll just start there. Acts 1, 4. Acts 1, 4. It says, and being assembled together with them. Now, this is the last time he's talking to the disciples. He has something important to say. These people have been with him, and he is going to tell them some instructions. He's leaving his ministry. The Son of God came to the earth, and he's entrusting his ministry to men. He's telling them something very important here. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He told them to wait for what was coming, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, that was going to be poured out onto them, power to be witnesses to him. He didn't tell them to go out and now tell everybody. Then we talked about Peter. The state Peter was in, Peter denied Jesus. He told Jesus he'd stay by him. He said, I'll stay with you to the death. They came and captured Jesus, and Peter followed along at a distance. And then when he was in the courtyard, people started asking him, wait a minute, you've been with Jesus. He said, no, I haven't. You got the wrong guy. That's not me. And Jesus told him earlier, Peter said, I'll be with you to the death. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be with you. And Jesus said, you'll deny me three times before it's morning. And so they're out in the courtyard, and Peter is scared. There's people that are going, that are capturing Jesus, and Peter doesn't want to be next. So he goes, three times people ask him, wait a minute, I've seen you. You're with Jesus. No, I'm not. Then he starts cussing. He starts swearing. No, I'm not. I'm not him. He gets mad. He's afraid. He's afraid of these people. But we see the same Peter afterwards, and we'll just go over this a little bit. After he's waited for the Spirit of God and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a second experience apart from salvation, which you might get into a little bit today, he's bold. He walks out among these same people who he was petrified, and he starts preaching to them. He starts declaring who Jesus is. In the middle of the street, he starts speaking to them. He was bold. He had the power. He had the power plant. He had the Holy Spirit working through him. And 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. And let's just read over there. Let's just read a little bit of that in Acts 2, verse 1. So Jesus says, wait. And I'm just going to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week, and then we're going to go on. But I think it's important just to talk about a few of these things. When in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they're waiting. This day of Pentecost has fully come. This is all the disciples. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. They're all in this upper room. 120 of them are all gathered together. And it says, the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody, all the disciples, any name you know, Peter, James, John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're all there. They're speaking with other tongues. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is an experience subsequent to salvation, and they're there, and they received it. This is what Jesus told them to receive, to wait. So before they went out and talked to anybody, he told them, wait. And the evidence that they had experienced the second experience was that they spoke with other tongues. And after that, they walked out of there. And if you go down, let's see. So Peter goes out and talks to all these people. He preaches to them. He declares Jesus. He says that, you know, this is Jesus who you crucified. And he says, verse 39 of 2, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people were added to the church. He got up and preached. And then you see over in verse 3, and we're going to recap, or in chapter 3, we're going to recap this pretty quickly. But in chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John asked about to go, and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now let's just keep reading a little bit. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you look so intently on us, at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, to whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This power, the supernatural, followed Peter and John and the disciples. They waited for what God had given them, what he had promised them. And at that point, they went with that and they saw miracles. They saw the church grow. They saw supernatural signs and wonders and miracles happen. And they had boldness to witness to Jesus, the fact that Jesus had risen. Before that, they didn't. Before that, they didn't have the boldness. Peter was scared out of his mind when a little girl came and said, you've been with Jesus. He started swearing, and he was just scared out of his mind. But now Peter gets up, and he just goes out in the middle and just starts preaching to everybody. And a man is healed, and he's led by the Holy Spirit, and that man is healed, causes a big ruckus. People are amazed because this man has been crippled for many years. And we're just going to read a little bit more here. But they saw the power of God. This is what God has promised us. This is what the church, this is the power plant of the church. If all we do is believe on Jesus, thank God we're saved and thank God we'll experience life. But if that's all we have, we don't have this further experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're missing some things. And that's why the church has missed it over the years, is that we've made it a powerless religion. We haven't had anything, a power in our lives that we should, to change ourselves, to change our relationships, the supernatural flowing in our lives the way it should. And then we've dumbed it down and substituted things you know, substituted all this other stuff for the power that's supposed to be there. Tried to be slick in different ways. Not that there's anything wrong, like I said last week, using every tool available to spread the gospel. If we have the truth, then we need to spread it however. But if we substitute the bells and whistles for the truth, if we don't have the power of God, we're missing it. And we don't have the power of God working in our life and the supernatural, which we should because we're children of God and we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. If we don't have that and we go and try to substitute it with all these other things, these bells and whistles and things that don't amount to anything really in and of themselves. They're just the trim on the tree, as I said last week. If we try to substitute it, then we just look like every other religion. We preach the gospel and Jesus will. The bottom line is we need to be saved. We need to trust in the fact that we can't save ourselves and we need to look to God. We need to look to Jesus and his sacrifice because our sacrifice isn't good enough. Doesn't matter how good we are. We're not good enough to be right with God. Only Jesus said, this is the payment. You know, Adam and Eve were perfect. They decided to follow after the enemy, Satan. They weren't perfect anymore. God had to make a way. He made Jesus the way. And he said, this is the way to God. Well, at this point, if we believe on him, then we're right with him. But we don't necessarily automatically see the change in our life that we'd want to. And at that point, if we stop there and we're trying to do it in our own strength, we know we're saved. We know we're right with God. But it's like we live like everybody else. What's the difference? You're a Christian. What's the difference between you and everybody else? What's the difference? You know, somebody asks you, you look just like me. You do all the same things. You don't have anything different in your life. Well, we've missed it and that we haven't emphasized the fact that, no, we have God Almighty living inside us now. And God, there is a subsequent experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of which is speaking in other tongues. And that is the power source that the church is supposed to have. That is the backing that we're supposed to have is just like the apostles. Nothing's changed since then. We're supposed to walk around with supernatural power. Not being weird and not being flaky and not being dumb about it, you know, jumping up in the middle of work when we're supposed to be doing our job and being weird. No. And like I said last week, people have, because there have been people that have been weird and given a bad name to certain things, they throw away it all. Say, oh, but, you know, anybody that believes in that way must be just a flake. So then church backs away from it, backs away from the very thing that is supposed to be their power source, backs away from the thing that is supposed to carry the church along. The power of God, that, you know, I want to be, if God said to wait for it, Jesus said to wait for it, don't go out and do anything until you have this. I want that. I want to do what, you know, if the disciples went around and they preached and they had the power of God backing them up, I want what they had. I don't want to say, well, I'm in the 21st century, so I need all these other things. Like I said, I'm not discounting anything. But if we say, I don't have this other stuff. I don't have the power of God, so I'm going to, you know, try to hide that fact and make all these other things up. No, I want the power of God. And then if I have these other things, great. There's icing on the cake. But if I have the power of God, I want to walk like the disciples walk. We should walk like the disciples walk. We should have the answer. When we walk, we should be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should lead us on our jobs. The Holy Spirit should lead us in our relationships with our family. The Holy Spirit should lead us when the economy gets bad. The Holy Spirit knows where we need to put our money. The Holy Spirit knows what investments to take. The Holy Spirit knows what job is going to be good or not. Job is not going to be good. And when we're aware of his presence all the time, then we walk at a different level. That is where we want to walk, just like the apostles walked. We want to be full of the Spirit. So he says in verse 17 then of Acts 3, he says, yet now, brethren, I know. So he just said, yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he had thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. So he skips down and says, you are the son of the prophets, and so on and so forth. To you first, the Israelites, God, in verse 26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquity. So he's saying some things specifically to the people there, to the Israelites, saying, look, God sent the truth to you first, but he sent Jesus now. In verse 1 of 4, he says, now they spoke to the people. The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they're, okay, so these same people that Peter was cowering from now are coming, and they're upset that they're speaking Jesus, that they're saying Jesus. So in verse 3, he said, and they laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, now these are the people that he was cowering in front of. Now he says, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders and has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had come been healed by or standing beside them, they could say nothing against it. So then he goes on and they threaten him and they tell him to be quiet, basically. And Peter says, well, you judge whether it's better to listen to you or God. And they say, we're going to do what we've been doing. And they do. They went around, they preached the gospel, people were healed, the power of God followed them, and the church was multiplied, and that's how it started. And that's how it's supposed to continue today. We're supposed to be the same church. God, you know, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It hasn't stopped today, it's supposed to be the same thing. None of that has passed away. We're supposed to have a separate experience in our lives, the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives at a different level that shows that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one, he's the power source. He's the one on the earth today. He's the one that created the heavens. He's the one that created the earth. You know, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said at the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. He's the one that's the power source. Through the Holy Spirit, we have power in our lives to change things that we don't know, to be led. You know, God, it says in John that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit will show us things to come. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us that we don't know. That's who we want to walk in concert with. That's who we want to be led by, is the Holy Spirit. And there's something about it. When we can have the power source, but if we don't keep stirred up and we don't keep aware of it, it's just like we don't have it. Like we were talking about last week. We have to stir it up. We have to use it. We have to be aware of it. And that's why we read from the Bible. That's why we come together to keep ourselves stirred up, because the earth, the world is constantly, you know, they'll tell you it's foolishness. It's going to pull you away from the truth. And so we come together to stir ourselves up and to encourage ourselves. Acts 8, 5 through 8 and 12. Acts 8, 5 through 8. Let's start in 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord
heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And then it talks about a certain man named Simon. Skip over to verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, so he's preaching salvation to them. And it says, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So you see, earlier we said, they preached the gospel to them, and they received it. They believed. They believed what Philip was preaching to them. Back in 12, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So they believed Jesus. They believed the word that was being told to them. They believed that Jesus is the Christ. But then a few verses later, so then they called. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, so they've received the word of God. These apostles heard that they had received it. They sent Peter and John. So Peter and John go. Verse 15, who then they had, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So see, you know, sometimes certain people teach that there's nothing, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get it when you're born again. You get it when you're saved. Well, this right here, they said that that Philip preached to them. They believed what he said. They believed Jesus. They believed on Jesus. And yet then they still sent Peter and John to them. And when Peter and John came, they prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It's a second experience subsequent to salvation, the evidence, how you know you're filled, is that you speak with other tongues. And there's lots of benefits to speaking with other tongues, which I don't think we're going to get into today. But it's the evidence that shows, yes, you've received that second experience. And if we've received that second experience, there's all kinds of benefits. There, like we said, there's power. The Holy Spirit is just present in a higher degree in our lives. And if we know that and we draw on it and we're aware of it, then we can walk at a higher level. Let's read a couple more scriptures to this effect. So verse 18, this is Simon, the guy that before. In verse 18, then, just keep reading on, this guy that he's a sorcerer. He says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, let me ask you a question. How did he know that the Holy Spirit was given? If it was just an infilling, how did he know? They were speaking with other tongues. There was some kind of manifestation outside us. You know, he says, I want this power too. Well, what if it's just some internal thing? How did he know? No, we started out in Acts saying, and this is just to stir ourselves up, to remind ourselves of these facts. In Acts 2, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. And then Peter said, he said, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. If your heart is not right in the sight of God, repent. And he goes on to speak to Simon. But let's turn to another scripture in Acts 10. We're just going to read a few scriptures that show that this is separate from just salvation. In Acts 10, verse 44, we're going to back up a little bit. So the story here is that Peter was up praying. Peter was praying. Actually, there was a man named Cornelius that was very faithful. He was very devout. And he was, he saw a vision. And he saw to send for a man named Peter and listen to what he had to say.
And then so about that same time, Peter's up praying on a house, and Peter sees a vision of this sheet of food, the sheet of animals being let down, and he hears this voice say, "Kill and eat." And Peter and he says to the Lord, "No, I can't eat of that. Those things are unclean." And the Lord says, "Don't call unclean what I've made clean." And this happens three times. So then Peter, he's in this vision, and he comes out of the vision, and somebody comes up and says, "There's this man Cornelius that's sending for you." Actually, right before that, the Spirit of God had told him, "These people are going to come send for you. Go with them." So he goes, and he goes to Cornelius. Cornelius is sent for him. He's not a Christian. And he says, I saw a vision that said to send for you. So come, so whatever you have to say, I've gathered my whole house here. Speak to me." And so he goes, we'll just start with verse 34 of Acts 10. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality in every nation. Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit of power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil.'" So he goes and he preaches Christ to them, preaches Jesus. And then in verse 44, it says this, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision became believed, were astonished, as many of them with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God." That's how they knew. "Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" So, again, they saw these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One more scripture. Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 1. It says, "And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said, 'We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" You probably heard it said. I mean, that's a lot. There's a lot of people that are in that state, that are in church. "We haven't heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." These people are in that state. Verse 3 says, "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" If you go back, this man Apollos in verse 24. Let's go back for a second. "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia," okay, so then he went and preached. But go back to verse 4 of 19. "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance.'" So to put it together, verse 3, it says, "He said to them, 'Into what then you were you baptized?'" Paul finds these disciples. He asks them, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" They say, "No, we don't even know. We never heard if there is a Holy Spirit." And so he says, "What were you baptized into then?" And he said, "Just into John's baptism." And he said, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul, when you're preaching John's baptism, you're preaching Jesus, to believe on Jesus. And these are evidently some people, because if you look at right back at the beginning, verse 19, it's just talking about Apollos, and it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples." So evidently he ran into some disciples that had been preached to by Apollos, who had been preached Jesus, but had not been preached the Holy Spirit. And if you read previously in verse 26 of 18, it said, "So he began to speak boldly, Apollos, in the synagogues. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." They said, "Look, there's more. There's more that you don't know." And so they explained it to him. But Paul's coming across people that that Apollos had previously preached to. So he said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were 12 in all." So these people hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit either. They hadn't heard that it was a subsequent thing. They hadn't heard that it was something they needed to have, that it's really standard equipment for a Christian. And we're going to get into some more of the benefits and all the things that comes with that. We talked about them some last week. But there's boldness, there's power, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us in our lives in every area. There's a higher degree of revelation of the Word of God when you read it. It's not just a bunch of gobbledygook. You read it, you understand. The Holy Spirit is the one quickening the understanding to us. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us, but we're conscious of that infilling of the Holy Spirit. We can rise to a higher level in our lives, and we're supposed to be there. That is the standard way a Christian is supposed to operate. But many times we've backed away from it for whatever reason or just not used it. And so it's like we don't have it. And if we don't have it, we're not operating. We're not operating with the equipment we're supposed to have. We've backed away. We've let it go. God can show us things to come. The Holy Spirit can pray through us things that we don't know anything of. The Holy Spirit can show us things that are coming down our life. We can be praying things out. We're praying the perfect will of God when we're praying in the Holy Spirit. Thank God.